Evening.
Good evening.
Happy 1993. Whatever that means. I welcome you with all my heart. It is good being with you once again. Many of you have been with me for over 2 years now. And you're all making progress. Some of you kind of see it for yourself. But I know you better than you know yourself. And I can tell. There are wonderful things happening to this group. There's something taking place within you. A tremendous happiness is growing within you. Happiness to be yourself. A happiness that does not require outside stimulation. A happiness that you always take with you wherever you go. That nothing can interfere with the happiness that you are. No matter what is going on in this world, in your family life, at work, whatever, the happiness goes with you. Fear disappears. You are beginning to realize that all is well and everything is unfolding as it should. The world is becoming less important to you. Yet you're still functioning in the world and you are doing the things you came here to do. But it happens all by itself. You are at peace. You notice the events that used to make you irritable, depressed, upset, have disappeared from your life. Things in themselves perhaps have not changed as yet, but you are feeling free, and you are beginning to realize there is absolutely nothing, no one, no thing that can ever upset you. You are at peace. And because you are at peace, beautiful things unfold in your life. Peace begets peace. You attract peaceful people. You're inclined to gravitate towards peaceful situations. And you feel good all over. I know this is happening to approximately 10 people here. And we'll explain why. There are three precepts that great movements have talked about in their inner circles. This is nothing that is broadcast to the human race. But the inner circles of spiritual movements have always known this. There are three precepts for self-realization, for awakening. And this is the fastest way that you can ever awaken and become free. The first one is to have a personal relationship with a sage. And to be of service to a sage. The second one is to be at satsang most of the time. We'll go into these more thoroughly. The third one is to be in meditation with the sage at appointed times. Those are the three precepts that have been known since the beginning of time in every spiritual organization. They're usually not discussed with the outer movements, for the average person does not understand these things. But the inner circle, or people who are close to the sage, very well understand these things. In Advaita Vedanta, in this teaching, everybody is the inner circle. There is no separation. Everyone is the self. Everyone is absolute reality. So I share this with you. The first precept, to be in close association with the sage. Many of you know Ramana Maharshi. He had the same attendance around him for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. They were of service to him until he left his body, or until they left their body. We always make sort of fun of this, that the devotee who used to pull his fan to keep him cool all year round. That was the only job he did. He never spoke. He just pulled the fan all day long for 40 years. And then while he was pulling the fan one day, he just dropped dead. And Ramani quoted, he exclaimed, "He will never come back again. He is free. He's liberated." Now, what happens to a person like that, who was in close proximity to a sage, and who was of service to a sage? The self-realized sage is the epitome of grace. The entire universe is that sage. It is like sunlight spread all over the world. But when you get a magnifying glass, you can pull the sunlight so strongly through the magnifying glass that it starts a fire. The sage has this attribute without realizing it. For there's no one to realize anything. There is grace always flowing through the sage. There is joy, happiness, love. That is what the sage is made out of. When you have a relationship with a sage, when you are of service to the sage, you are of service to yourself. For the sage becomes yourself. There's only one. Of course, there's always one everywhere. But yet, through the sage, it shines brighter. Again, it's like the sun. The closer you come to the sun, the more heat you get. The more you hang around the sage, the greater the awareness, the realization, the joy that becomes expressed through you. When you are of service to a sage, you again are of service to yourself. For remember always, there's only one self. And you become a living embodiment of the consciousness of the sage. This is very important to understand. For the few new people that are here tonight, simply open your heart. Do not try to figure this out, to analyze this. For on this new year, we wish to discuss this thoroughly, so we can know how to function in the next year and the following years. Never try to analyze what I say. It makes no difference whether you agree with it or you don't. Just have an open heart and be still in your mind. There is no greater way to become realized or to awaken than to be in association with the sage or to be of service to the sage. This will take you there faster than any form of meditation, any form of yoga, or anything else you may do. It's the fastest way. It is spoken about in the Upanishads, in the Kabbalah, in all of the great books in this world. Never forget this. Hold on to this. The next precept is to be at satsang. It is important that you come to satsang whenever you can. Satsang is an extension of the sage. When you come to satsang, satsang becomes a part of you. And you take it with you wherever you go. Satsang becomes part of your consciousness. And after a while you notice that you're always at satsang. Wherever you are. Do not take satsang lightly. I know some of you take it for granted sometime, and you call this a meeting, a lecture, but never forget what this is. This is satsang, and it is very important for you to realize the meaning of satsang. Sat is reality. Sang is to sit in reality. Therefore, when you come to satsang, you are sitting in reality of the self. Yourself. To oneself. And as I mentioned, you take it with you wherever you go. You may go through trying circumstances, but satsang will always remind you who you are. You may be in a prison. Karmically, you may be in a hospital. You may go far and wander far away over hill and dale. But when you recall satsang, it's just like you are at satsang, because you are. Wherever you go, satsang has become part of you. It is your consciousness. It is your soul. The third precept is to be in meditation with the sage. There are certain times a sage meditates. A sage never really meditates, because meditation means that you pick out an object and you meditate on the object. For the sage, there is no object and there is no subject. The sage sits in the silence. The silence is a better word than meditation. When you sit in the silence with the sage, you can be in Japan and the sage can be in Africa. It makes no difference. But you check your time zone and you sit in the silence with the sage. Then you begin to pick up the oneness, the peace, the joy, the love of the sage. It is like being of service in association with the sage. When you are in the silence with the sage. Most of you realize by now that the sage sits in the silence from 6 to 9 in the morning and from 12 to 3 at night. You do not have to spend all this time in the silence. Spend as much time as you can at that time. And you will see the results then soon. Those are the three precepts. There's nothing else you have to do in order to awaken. Everything else will take care of itself. If you just follow those rules and you do these things, you will soon see how everything takes care of itself. But the idea is to do it. Many people like to hear words, they like to read books, yet they never practice. They never do anything. These things I shared with you are very simple to do. They're the easiest things in the world to do. They're for lazy people like us. We're not going to sit in the sadhana of the lotus posture for 4 or 5 hours contemplating a navel. There's no particular way we have to sit. There's nothing we have to remember. It's just a question of doing. Life is very short in this body. And all of the things you're going through will soon come to an end. If you have not made any spiritual headway, you will be under the delusion of karma. And you will return again and again in an illusory body form, going through many experiences that appear real to you. You will be caught up in Maya, and you will fight for survival, sometimes living from hand to mouth. If you have been a good humanitarian, you might gravitate to an illusory planet where you appear to have a relatively good life, but this will be only temporary, for the pendulum has to swing the other way, and again you will go through pain, ordeals, then you'll have a rest. We appear to have a semblance of happiness. And then you go back to pain again. It never ends. The only way for it to come to an end is to give it all up now. Make up your mind that this is going to be the year for you to totally become realized, to awaken totally. You've had enough. Do not become deluded into believing you want to change bad things for good things. I've told you so often that the bad and good things are the same side of the coin. Two sides of the coin. Bad and good. We're trying to transcend totally, completely. Good and bad. And by following the three precepts as outlined, this will happen to you faster than you can breathe, if you allow it to. Do not allow the world to run your life. Do not allow people to run your life. be yourself. Know yourself. Realize that you are Brahman, the pure awareness. There is nothing that can interfere with you. You are pure consciousness. This is your real state. This is what you are. Whether you know it or not, whether you care or not, you can walk out of this room and go about your business like you always have. But your nature is pure consciousness. And one day you will have to awaken. So why not begin now? Why wait? Do not let the world fool you. I reiterate again and again. The world appears very powerful. It makes you want things. It tells you to pursue this, to pursue that, to become successful. All this is an illusion. You are already successful. All your needs will be met if you have faith and trust the powers that be, that are within you and without you. You will always be taken care of. There's no doubt about this. You have absolutely nothing to worry about. You have absolutely nothing to fear. Everything is right, just the way it is. There never were any mistakes. Leave the world alone. Mentally. Physically, you will gravitate where you're supposed to be and go through the experiences that you're supposed to go through. Yet do not react to them. Leave everything alone.
Robert, I have a question. I think the three precepts are wonderful, but what about self-inquiry, which Sri Ramana said was the most direct route to awakening? Where would that fit into these precepts?
That fits in for a person who would rather do something external, such as practicing self-inquiry. There are certain people who will not do the three precepts for their own reasons. Sometimes because the ego is too big. So those people have to work on self-inquiry.
Would it be appropriate when sitting in silence with the guru, if your mind wanders, to do self-inquiry at that time?
Yes, it would. The best thing you can do is be in the silence. But if your mind doesn't stay still, you can practice self-inquiry.
To bring it back to
yes.
being one-pointed.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're trying to make it easy for you.
So in sitting with the sage, is there a subliminal communication because everything is the self?
Exactly.
Anyway.
Yes.
But it would be magnified by sharing the silence.
Exactly. The self is always available. But by sitting with the sage, it magnifies tremendously.
And are you, as the sage, aware of those sitting with you? Or they, well, they're all just the self, right? So never mind.
Inhale to say hi. Exhale to say in. To yourself.
This is the three attributes of Jesus. It seems to help, but I want to make sure I have the three.
It's unconditional, effortless, pure awareness.
Oh, I thought you had a third attribute.
Choiceless.
Choiceless, right. Choiceless,
absolutely. I can never remember those things.
Metal. That was Krishnamurti's favorite too.
Choiceless.
Choiceless awareness.
Yeah, it's a good one.
How would you define choiceless in this instance?
It means that you have no choice. You are pure awareness.
That's it.
You have absolutely nothing to do with it. It's not your business. Mm-hmm. Your nature is pure awareness. That's what you are, whether you like it or not. So there. It's funny, we always think we have a choice. It's like asking a god, can you become a cow? Can you become a kangaroo? God is everything. God is all encompassed, every choiceless awareness. Self-contained choiceless awareness. And that's what we are. There's no room for anything else. We never had a choice. Egoically, we think we make choices. We think we're in charge and we have anything to do with our lives. But I can assure you, you have absolutely nothing to do with your life. As crazy as it sounds, you have no life. Someone's probably told you, go get a life. They're trying to fool you. They want you to exist as a human being. Tell them, no thank you, I don't want a life. I'd rather be choiceless awareness. But watch who you tell that to. Yeah. They might put you in a funny farm.
I had an interesting experience one time. Shortly after I got sober, I was chilling with a guy that had experienced a lot of DTs. And I asked him if the things he saw and the things he felt were real. And he said, oh, them more than real. And what I'm wondering is if what he saw and what he experienced was a direct happening that did not have to go through the conditioned mind.
When he had his DTs?
Yeah, the things he saw.
Well, he saw his subconscious mind. The subconscious mind invented all of those things. And just like we invent the world, the subconscious mind is full of all kinds of illusory things. We can see pink elephants, we can see kangaroos jumping up and down, we can see all kinds of things. But it comes from us.
I realize that, but those things don't have to go through the conditioned mind that we ordinarily...
No.
That's the point I was...
No, it doesn't go through the conditioned mind.
That's the reason it seems more real than real.
Yeah, it's like LSD.
Yeah, okay.
You see all kinds of things, you have all kinds of experiences.
Oh, boy.
The conditioned mind. There's no more threat going from.
The 60s were good to Fred. But the subconscious would still be part of Maya or illusion, right?
Yes.
Because it's still of the mind.
Yes. Everything is of the mind. Whether it's karma, or God, or the universe, or astral planets, or subtle awareness, everything comes from the mind. The whole object is to destroy the mind completely until there's no you or I left. Then we're free. Feel free to ask any question you like.
If there is no you or I, why would we meditate on I am?
You meditate on I am because you believe there's a you or I. If you didn't believe there was a you or I, there would be no need to meditate on anything. As long as you think you are the I, then you meditate on I am in order to pull you in closely into the I am. And then you'll be the I am and nothing else.
Perhaps a distinction should be made between this, the little I, the individual I, and the I am, which is the name of God.
Mm.
When you say I am, you're not reinforcing the individual I, but the greater,
the big self.
I am. Exactly.
Yes. And if you're already without a body, and without an I, and without a you, there would be no need for that. Of course, who's left to do it?
I'm beginning to see that everyone is exactly where he's supposed to be.
Sure.
Pope John Paul and the punk rockers on Hollywood Boulevard, the people in this room.
Even you.
Even me. I belong here a bit.
Mm.
And to think that any one of them ought to be elsewhere, bodily or mentally, is really a terrible waste of time.
That's an ego mistake. We try to change people, we try to change things. There's absolutely nothing you can change.
Can't even change myself.
No.
As a result of will.
But, because most of us do not realize this, we have to be of service to humanity. We have to help the homeless, do what we can to make this planet a better planet in which to live. But then when you know yourself, it's a different story.
What was you saying? That just the realization that my existence is a dream. I'm dreaming. How do I realize? I mean, who's going to realize this if I'm the dreamer and I'm dreaming this dream? Where does this the realization come in to so-called free me from this so-called dream?
By realizing when you wake up that you dreamt, you exist. You realize I dreamt, I slept, and now I am awake. The I never changed through all three states of consciousness. The I remains the same. Then you have to find out who this I is and where it came from. When you find out where the I came from, you'll be free. Do you follow that?
And that's possible?
Of course it's possible. If it weren't possible, would I tell you about it?
I've been told a lot of things.
Well, it's up to you to use your discrimination.
Ramesh said something up here one time that I've always remembered, which relates to what you were just talking about, that, you know, if I have nothing to do with being born, then I have nothing to do with dying. What makes me think I have anything to do with what's going on in between?
Exactly.
Yeah, that was a pretty profound statement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I say that to myself, but there's a sense of letting go right there.
Yes.
There's a sense of surrendering.
Yes.
Freedom from myself.
All that works when you do it right.
So I say that to myself, but there's a sense of letting go right there.
Yes.
There's a sense of surrendering.
Yes.
Freedom from myself.
All that works when you do it right.
Silent from the teacher.
So if you've been with a guru or a master, as you say, for a lengthy time, that master can never leave you, whether he's embodied or not. And when the master seems to leave his body, he will always be with you. But if you've just come under the tutelage of a master recently, or let's say a few months, and then the master leaves his body, you should look for a new master. For you haven't had the light strong enough to keep this master with you all the time. So you need a living master to show you the way to continue the process. But if you've been with him or her for quite a while, that's all you'll need for the rest of your life. And after your life. And after that.
You mean if one reincarnated, the same guru would still remain?
Yes.
How would the guru be known?
Intuitively. For the few people that are new here tonight, it seems sort of strange. We talk about masters, gurus, and sages. Yet it has been known from the beginning of time most people can only go so far by themselves, spiritually speaking. And after that, they need the help of someone who has been further on the path than they. For it becomes most difficult to have self-realization by yourself. Yet this has been done by a few people. This is possible. But the best bet is to find yourself a sage or someone who's gone further on the spiritual journey than you have, and surrender totally to that sage. And then you will be free in this lifetime.
Could you explain exactly the meaning of darshan?
Darshan means the light of the sage, the divine light, having the presence of the sage in your life. When you are in darshan, you are looking at the master of the sage. And by direct transmission, the master of the sage can give you a look or touch you or say a mantra to you or do something which will lift you up from where you were before into a higher state of consciousness. So darshan also means actually looking at the face of the sage.
Is it the same as grace? Is darshan the same as grace? Is shed by the guru?
No, darshan is the glimpse, the look at the sage. Grace is what emanates from the guru, from the sage. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
As an example, when Ramana Maharshi left his body, there was a line of thousands of people getting their final darshan from them, passing lines, looking at them for the last time. Then it was darshan. As far as the sage is concerned, it makes no difference whether he's dead or alive. You get the same darshan. Thank you, Glenn. I have to admit I have a little problem with that because I've been laughing at these cookies all night. They look so good.
Desire.
No, don't turn them away.
Would you like to be the only man? Tony Lacton knows these are my favorite cookies, so he teases me all the time, brings me back so I can look at them and not eat them.
Is that what you were thinking about while we were meditating?
Is there anything else to think about?
Drilling for cookies. That makes you still human.
But not real.
or a jnani who has realized the identity of his inner being with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, not even liberation, for he is already liberated. He is firmly established in an experience of the absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, the Satchitananda Atman. The continued existence of the world and of his own body appears to the jnani only as an illusion, the appearance of which he cannot remove, but which cannot further deceive him till the time when, after the decease of the body, he wanders not forth, but remains where he is and what he is, and eternally was, the first principle of all beings and things, the original, eternal, pure, free Brahman. While living, and even when the body falls dead, the jnani rests in his own essential nature, his own svarupa, that is all full, all pure, timeless consciousness and bliss. The following assertions made by a jnani constitute his own deepest convictions and experience. I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am beginningless, endless, decayless, birthless, deathless. Never was I born. I am ever free, perfect, independent. I alone am. I pervade the entire universe. I am all permeating and interpenetrating. I am supreme peace and freedom absolute. A jnani lives forever. He has attained life everlasting. Cravings torture him not. Sins stain him not. Birth and death touch him not. He is free from all cravings and longings.
Self cookings.
Spoken like a man.
He ever rests in his own Satchitananda Svarupa. He sees the one infinite self in all, and all in the infinite self, which is his being. He remains forever as the infinite self of consciousness and delight.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Robert. For that, I get a cookie.
Is that so? In this new year, let's try to keep our lives less complicated. Keep your life simple. Forget about your fears, your frustrations. Drop them. You will be taken care of. There's more going for you than against you. Stop worrying. Surrender to God, which is yourself. No one wants to hurt you. No one wants to punish you. As far as your past is concerned, forget it. It never existed. This is a new beginning for you. It's up to you. Do we have any announcements?
No, I just wanted to say, any new people, please come to me here, and I have some transcriptions to give to you.
We should always have a bunch of transcriptions on the table.
Yes, but you know, nobody's been bringing them back.
She handed them out to be copied, and
they're all in that box.
Those are to recopy and bring them back. But Fred hasn't been here for a while, and I have three that are outstanding right now. I'm waiting for him to bring back to me so I can Xerox them off and hand them out for people to Xerox. But I don't know what's happened to him, so I'll have to give him a call, find out.
we have transcriptions here most of the time. And if you don't see them, get after Mary.
Oh, she tries so hard. But it's all right. Get after Fred.
Yeah, we'd after Fred.
Yeah, right.
There'll be some more coming, I promise you, very shortly.
Robert, for you, the newcomers, would you explain prasad, please?
Prasad is food that has been blessed. The prasad itself is a teaching. When food has been blessed and you eat the food, you are eating the teaching. The food is complete in the teaching itself. So we always have prasad here. Somebody brings it. When they don't bring it, we don't have it. And this is it. So we'll pass it this way.
Everybody leave a little for Robert to take home.
Right.
I'm going to take it out first.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm taking one.
Feel free to take it. Whatever is left is left.
Robert, I brought this shot also. This prasad is a little organic tangerine, and they may be sort of tart after the cookies, so feel free to take a couple of tablespoons. They were so ripe that they'll have little holes because the skim stayed on the tree. They're very juicy and sweet.
We also have peach big Newtons.
My God.
From Trader Joe's. I'm going to pass it this way.
Well, how should I go? That way? Okay, I'll go around. Okay. We take some. Do you are organic?